This morning we're going to, I got several texts I'd like for people to look up. So somebody that can read very nice and loud, look up 1 John 2 and verse 3 and hold it. Then I need somebody to look up Micah 6, 8, Isaiah 58, 6, 7, and 8, and Isaiah 63, 1 to 4. Let's make that 61, 1 to 4. I think 63 sounded right. And somebody look up John 13, 34. All right, who has 1 John?
2 what?
2, start with verse 3. Hold on to it. Who has the one in Isaiah 58? Very good, thank you. Who has Isaiah 61? Very good. And who has John 13, 34? Very good. We know that you know the books. That's good. Micah 6, 8. Very good. Well, let's get started today. Today we're going to look at the sin problem. After all, some would think that's what theology is all about. Identify sin and stay away from it. So we're going to look at that today. All right, 1 John 2, verse 3. Go till I tell you to stop.
Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk, just as He walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in Him and in you. Because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shown.
All right, that's good enough. Now we're back to the old problem that there's a new commandment and an old commandment, but the old commandment came before the new commandment. So what in the world is John talking about? Well, we must understand why this letter was written to the churches. There was a big argument going on among God's followers. There were people that had come into the church and they said that religion is built upon an intellectual knowledge of God. There were other people that felt like that to know God, it was a feeling. And then there was another group that felt like to know God, you really kind of, quote, had to know Him. Now John comes along and says, I'm going to give you another commandment. Now who has John 13, 34? Yes. Okay. Who's speaking?
Jesus.
Jesus is speaking, and he says what? I'm going to give you what?
A new
commandment. Does anybody know the circumstances that's going on when Jesus makes this statement? Who said that? Very good. He had just finished washing the disciples' feet. He had just been through exposing to Judas that he knew what was going on. He's there at the table. These are some of his last words to the disciples. And he says, I'm going to give you... Good morning. I'm going to give you a new commandment. And what was that commandment? Why would he need to say that?
Well, Well, they were fighting about who was going to be the greatest in the new kingdom.
After all this time, they were still fighting? Okay.
Among themselves.
Pardon?
Fighting among themselves. Who's going to be the greatest?
Okay.
They also thought he was setting up his earthly kingdom.
Pardon me?
Didn't they think that he was setting up his earthly kingdom at this time?
Absolutely. Still had no clue, did they? Absolutely amazing. After 3.5 years with the Master, still no clue. Now, in the book of 1 John, we're going to talk about sin, commandments, and loving one another. In fact, the whole book about John is a relationship between God and His people. What is the main text that we get out of the entire 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John books? What's the one text that we all remember? No, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. What's the one text that we remember out of that whole book? Pardon?
If we confess our sins.
He's, okay, you think that's the main verse we remember? I contend it's not.
It's what might the Father did by which we call the Son.
I contend that's nice, but that's not.
So is this an opinion question?
Like, yes, your opinion.
Well, certainly it's an opinion question. What is the definition of sin? And where do we find that? Somebody look up 1 John 3:4. First John 3:4.
Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness.
Okay. Have y'all ever heard that one before? Now, what law is he talking about? Pardon?
He said the law of God.
Okay. Okay. Is it just the Ten Commandments only, do you think? Believe so?
Because
okay.
The next few verses say that because people are not united with Christ, that's considered sin.
Okay. All right. Well, where does love people come in at then? Is there an 11th commandment?
Well, Moses said that, and then Jesus repeated it, and Paul repeated it again.
So was that number 11?
You know, that took them all in.
Oh, takes them all in. Okay. Now, as most of you know that's ever been in my class, I love to follow the quarterly. So, whoever has a quarterly, does anybody have a quarterly with them? Thank you. Would you look to Friday, July the 24th, and there's 3-4 sets of questions. Would you read the first question?
It is one thing to keep the Ten Commandments. It is another thing to love other people. What's the difference? Which is easier to do and why?
Okay. That says that it's one thing to keep the Ten Commandments. It's another thing to love people. Which one is the most important?
Love people. If you love the people, you keep
the last.
Pardon?
The last illustration you
did. You see why teaching's tough. You actually have to remember what you say. I think I was over here. Yes?
Are they synonymous?
Well, I don't know. I just ask questions.
Love the neighbor as thyself, right?
Well, quarterly posed the question. I didn't. Yes.
I think we like to look more in terms of what I should do, what I shouldn't do, when God is trying to say it's a whole different thought process. It's a principle, not a something to do.
Okay. I agree with that. Which is easier to do? That is the question. Is it easier to keep the Ten Commandments, or is it easier to keep the Ten Commandments, or is it easier to love people? Which one do you want to work on this week? Because obviously your choice has to be which one is the most important to you. So what is the answer?
People.
Pardon?
Loving people.
So you're going to start on loving people first.
It depends on how you interpret it.
Pardon?
It depends on how it's interpreted.
Let's go back to him. What did you say? You caught my attention again.
Every day I go to work, I always say, please let me like this one person. Let me find one person, one reason I can like him.
Okay. All right. Now he has a struggle. If I interpret this correctly, he's got somebody at work he absolutely despises and hates their guts. Yes?
If you love God, you will love people. Not necessarily what they do or say, but you'll love them as human beings created in the image of God.
Okay. I don't see we're loving God in this particular question. Read the question again.
It's one thing to keep the Ten Commandments. It's another thing to love other people. What's the difference? Which is easier to do and why?
That's the question. The question is posed. There is no C. Keep the commandments, love people. Which is the easier to do? Yes.
Well, I'm kind of thinking in the commandments, it's talking about loving thy neighbor. So all the problems that we really deal with are usually with other people. And so if you could love the people, the ones that you have trouble with, which
okay.
I have a problem too,
right.
You automatically keep all the other commandments.
Okay. So you're in Terry's court.
Well, I got something to say about Terry's court. Today.
Oh, okay. All right.
I deal with two female managers at work who are dominant, and they clash with each other. One's above the other, but they clash with each other because one has been taken power away and given to the other. And they kind of funnel that towards me because I kind of do all the work in the office. So I come home at night, and my wife, first thing she says, how was work today? And I tell her, well, this one got on me today for this because she didn't have this, and this one got on me in this because this. And I can have an ability to funnel off that, but I go to work every day with a positive attitude. And whenever one of them comes to me and asks me to do something, it's like I jump and do it. And I do it because that's the kind of person I want them to see rather than a bitter person.
Okay.
So I start my day every day with a positive attitude.
Okay.
Of course, when I come home, my wife's going to take the negative.
Okay. All right.
I think it's easier to keep the commandments.
Oh, got it. All right. Got a commandment person. That's good.
No, I didn't say I was a commandment person, but I said that it's easier. It's like the Jews. It's a nation and it's a people. They found it much easier to keep all the commandments after they had sinned and they came back and they set down these rules because they were going to follow them, you see, and be good people. And they did it very well.
Okay.
But yet they were totally, we know what they were like.
Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am. Then we'll come to Roger.
When Christ asked, what's the most important commandment? He summed up the commandment. And I don't think we can separate these two. And it's interesting that the quarterly would ask that question because in my mind, those are one and the same.
Okay.
That you really cannot separate. Christ said that the commandments were love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And in his words, he says we can sum up the ten as that.
Okay.
And it seems to me that's what we're talking about. So okay. It's kind of interesting that the quarterly would ask which is easier because they are one and the same.
Okay. So in your answer, it's C, both.
No. It's, they are the same.
Okay.
So it's all of the above, none of the above, or A, B, C, yeah.
Okay. I'm with you. Roger.
I think in times of distress, we want somebody to tell us what to do. I mean, we don't go to a professional, whether what kind of professional, and have to say, well, you might want to do this, or you might, if you're sick, you want to do this, and do this, so you'll have a better chance to survive. So I think we tend to want that, and yet the Ten Commandments were given in emergency kind of measures, but they became the way of access to God versus the relationship.
Okay. All right.
To me, the Ten Commandments are a way of measuring yourself. If you had to be held in court of law, they would take you to the Ten Commandments and say, okay, you did do something, or you did do something. We say love your brother. It's like, okay, did I love your brother today? Maybe yes, maybe no, but it doesn't bring me a whole lot of conviction.
Okay.
Or measurement, so to speak.
Okay.
So,
I'm sorry.
It requires more. Loving your brother, I think, requires a positive action.
Okay.
You've got to step out.
Okay. And so which is easier? Love your brother. Okay, we can love our brother easier than keep the Ten Commandments. Yes?
I got to kind of agree with both these ladies over here. The thing with the Jews at that time, they skipped the Ten Commandments through legalism. And then Jesus said, you have to have the spirit of the law, which made it a whole lot more broad. So they joined together, love your neighbor as yourself and loving others. And it's difficult to love some of these folks out there when we're going to work, especially because they don't know how to drive and all that stuff.
Okay.
The question starts off with a statement. It says it's one thing to keep the commandments. It's another thing to love other people. That's where I totally disagree.
Okay.
So I think it starts off wrong before you ask the question. That is not a correct statement.
I just quote them. One, two, three. Good morning! Yes.
I'm still back on Terry. It's really true that there are people that you work with. The better you get acquainted, the less you like them. But you can still have, you can still be respectful. That's
okay.
The whole thing. But there
all right.
are people that the better you get acquainted, the less you
okay.
like. And there isn't anything you do about that, I don't know.
If you were a Jew, if we were Jews, and during Christ's time, and if you had a mountain on fire and given to your past relatives, written by the hand of God, and that you kept it in the Ark of the Covenant, and that if you went in there, you could die, the priests were even afraid of it, you can see why the commandments held such an important part of their life, because those commandments weren't still with them, weren't they? They were still there in that ark.
Okay.
So I could see why Christ, they got the whole concept wrong, but I can understand how they got it wrong.
Okay. Okay.
I think the quarterly has tried to separate the two. So if you're going to separate the two, to me, following the Ten Commandments would be easier because it is measured.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
It's my understanding that the first four commandments is our duty to God, and the next six is our commandments is our duty to man.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
I see evidence every day when I talk to my clients in my office that it's not easy to love one another.
Okay. All right. Now? Yes.
Well, I'm still at a disadvantage and can't hear all the comments. But from what I understand you're asking, if you love people, you will have kept the law because the two are inseparable.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yes.
I think one of the things about even the question and everything is the question tends to separate all of this from God. When we talk about the Ten Commandments as being the term that we're using, transferring God's character.
Okay.
When we look at the character of God and we look at loving your neighbor, they're one and the same. So how can we separate that? And how can we even entertain a lesson at that point when it's separating it from God?
Okay.
Because it's not really the issue of whether I can keep this. Okay.
Last comment.
Well, I think it's interesting in this whole context that after Christ had said, we can sum up the commandments like this, that then he said, I'm giving you a new command. Now, what was new about that?
Okay.
He had already said, love your fellow man, you know, as yourself. But then all of a sudden he said, you know what, I've been with you for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've shown you what love is. We've talked about it. Mm-hmm. Now I've shown you. Now my new command is this. Did you see what I did? Now do that.
Okay. That's very excellent. What have we spent the last 20 minutes focusing on?
What we need to do.
The fallacy is, in my opinion, the question doesn't even need to be asked. The devil would love for us to spend the next 5 hours discussing which is more important, loving your brother and keeping the Ten Commandments, or which is more easier, keeping the Ten Commandments or loving each other. He would like us to take 5 weeks on that subject. Because what is the center of the discussion focused on? Us and what? What we need to do, one way or the other. And as long as we focus on that, I don't think we'll get very far on any of it. Because that is not the answer, which is easier or which is harder. You can't do one without the other, and neither one of them becomes very important if you don't know the right person. Jesus says, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. Well, what's new about it? Isaiah 58.
Verses
6, 7,
and
8. 6,
7,
and 8.
Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard.
Okay, Isaiah 61, 1 through 4.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath claimed liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. The appointment unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes and oil for joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
Okay, that's fine. Micah 6:8.
Well, the first word is no exclamation mark. But up before that, it asks a lot of questions of what does God expect of us. And mainly it was thousands of sheep or rivers, 10,000 rivers of olive oil or the firstborns of my firstborn. Anyway, all of that says no. The Lord has told you what is good and acceptable in his sight. What is it that the Lord requires of you?
Now, I'll stop right there. Is that an important question?
Yes.
All right, what's the answer?
It is to be just, to show mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
So which is easier? Which is harder? If you focus on either one of them, you're going to be in trouble. How easy is it to love the unlovely?
It's impossible.
Pretty hard. How easy is it to keep God's Ten Commandments? Pretty hard. So if they're both pretty hard, they're both pretty easy, then which one of the two do you choose to focus on first? Pardon?
Love.
Neither one of them.
Focus on the source.
Focus on God. And that's what John's saying. He's saying to know Him. In the Greek, it's keep on knowing and knowing and knowing and knowing and knowing. It's a continual knowing. Everything that we have is based upon that relationship with God, who then gives us the power to overcome the things. But what does Paul say? Rob uses this a lot and I use it a lot. Paul's walking along life one time and he decides he's going to take a little bit of inventory in his life. And what did he say? Wow, what's happened to me? I've changed. The things I used to do, what? I no longer do them. And the things I didn't really want to do, I used to go and cut people's heads off. Now, the things that I used to hate to do, I'm doing it. Now, what do you think he focused on that all of a sudden as he was going through his journey in life, he stopped and said, wow, I'm amazed. What's going on here in my life? Was he focusing on a commandment? Was he focusing on what he should do for his fellow brother? Or what was he focusing on? He was focusing on God and didn't even begin to realize the change that was made in his life. Christ came to this earth to demonstrate Isaiah 58, Micah 6, Isaiah 61, and we can find literally hundreds of texts in the Old Testament that the Jewish people and even Christians today seem to not want to recognize that they are there. And so Jesus said to His disciples in one of His last speeches, I'm going to give you a new commandment. Well, it was new to them. So, those that come to Friday night, chronological life of Christ, we found out that as soon as Jesus started His ministry, one of the first things He did was to go to Samaria. What were the Samaritans to the Jews? Dogs. Trash. And they were the first people, heathen, trash, dogs, that when He spent 2 days in their village, said, this must be the Savior of the world. And then He goes, and His next thing that He does, He takes a Roman official and heals his son. And then the third thing He did to begin His ministry was He healed a leper. What was leprosy to the Jews?
Outcast.
So look what He did. The first three major things in His ministry brought salvation to the lowest of the low, took care of an enemy's son, and healed somebody who was absolutely the biggest sinner in the Jews' eyes. He spent most of His time taking care of the people that came to Him and He met their needs. Jesus did very little preaching. He did a whole lot of acting. You see, we like to take 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, and when I ask what commandment, well, we love to take 1 John 3:4 and say, sin is the transgression of the Ten Commandments. That's not what the text says at all. It says, sin is lawlessness. If you're a lawbreaker, what state of mind are you in? rebellion. Now, I got a fair question because I only ask fair questions. Where did sin arise? By who? And what law did he break?
He didn't love the Lord.
What law did he break?
He rebelled in heaven.
What law?
He wanted to do it on his own.
Pardon?
He wanted to do it on his own. The law of love.
Okay. How many, if I ask you this next week, would do a very special favor for me? I need 3 volunteers. Have I taught here before? 3 volunteers. Thank you, Terry. I appreciate that. Who else? 2. Who else? 3. Trent. Okay. This next week, will you promise me that you will not, and you'll concentrate on not doing it, that you will not do any snobber knocking? Snobber knocking. Will you promise me that you won't do that? Terry, will you promise me that you won't do that? Okay. Kay.
I have no clue.
Do you understand that our Father did not go through heaven saying, "Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not kill." Why? No clue. No clue. We're told there's only one law in heaven, and that was the law of love. It was natural. God would pour out His love to the angels in heaven, and they would receive that love. And with joy and thankfulness and kindness and praise, they would return that love to God. And He in turn would take that love and pour it back to them. And so we have a cycle of love that brought response, brought kindness, brought love, brought purity. And all of a sudden, the devil, Satan, the light bearer, he began to interrupt that precious cycle. And he began to think, you know, they're talking about creating a world. I ought to be in that discussion. And then he went around to the angels very subtly and said, "Psst, do you think we're kind of being treated fair up here? It's the relationship. The relationship that the Satan kept eroding away from." And finally one day, this relationship was so wide that the devil had to go and decide to present his whole case to all of us and the universe. And God allowed it. But we're told that 3 times that God brought Satan back and sat with him and talked with him and pleaded with him to come back and be part of the family. And God said, "I will reinstate you right to the position next to Christ that you were." By the way, had Satan sinned at this time?
Yeah.
Okay. then God said, we got a problem. Before Satan, I can take you back because you've sinned. Somebody's got to die. You think that conversation took place?
No.
Then don't put that conversation in our lives. Our God's a good God. Yes, Christ had to go to Calvary. Yes, God had to shed blood. Yes, God, Christ did die. But it wasn't for to appease a God who said the only way you can get to heaven is somebody die. It was to show you that as a sinner, if we go down this path and continually down the path of a sinner, this will be the end result. Now, I got a question for you. Did Eve sin in the Garden of Eden? Let's put Adam into it too. A little different situation. Did Adam sin in the Garden of Eden?
Yes.
What commandment did he break?
Disobedience.
Pardon?
He broke away from God.
What commandment? What commandments do you think existed to Adam? Thou shalt not commit adultery? Thou shalt not kill?
Well, he did have the... He was told not to eat of the fruit, and he disobeyed.
Was that a command?
It was a rule, I guess you could say.
What was the disobedience in doing that? Fair question. I appreciate the question.
Satan was confined to that tree, to that spot. He couldn't just roam around and follow Adam and Eve and say, hey, go out to do that. You know?
Sure.
But he was confined, so... God, in His love, said, stay away from that tree.
Absolutely.
Don't eat of that fruit.
How old is your youngest grandchild?
That's three.
Three. What kind of test are you going to give them today to see if they like you or not?
There's,
huh?
There's no test.
Why put God in that situation then?
So when they ate of that fruit, they would have a knowledge of good and evil. So explain that in the context of the conversation.
Okay, what did God do every evening in the cool of the evening? Adam, Eve, party time. They ate the fruit. Adam, Eve. Think it was that way? No. Don't put God in that mode. I say that because I like you. He came along and said, Adam, Eve, who changed?
Adam and Eve.
Who changed?
Adam and Eve.
That's what sin does. It's what sin does. God doesn't withdraw. God doesn't change. We change.
What was that knowledge? What was that they felt changed? What specifically did they feel?
Well, let me illustrate with this story. I was called in at Keene one time for a little conference. And I think the conversation went like this. You've done so good that we would like to give you an unexpected 2-week vacation. So I knew my dad was going to be mad. So I had my little story down. So then I finally had to call him and tell him I'm coming home. And he said, what did you do this time? And I told him. And he said, "Oh my, I would have thought you would have done most anything except that." And it broke my heart. And I ran up to my room and cried. You see, it wasn't what I had done. It was that relationship that I realized how bad I'd hurt my daddy. That's the knowledge of good and evil. And when they done that, it wasn't God who changed, because He came in the evening, just like He always did. The same person, the same God, the same voice. It was them who realized we had hurt, we have disappointed, and they were the one who hid. And then what did they do when God said to them, "Where are you?" As if He didn't know. Then they started doing what we all do when we put away what was her fault. Probably right. That's exactly right. Now, here's the picture that robbed us so beautifully. How did God treat Adam and Eve? Well, the picture that we see, it's in the Bible story. I used to sell the Bible stories, was we have an angel. Get the heck out of here. Right?
With the sword.
Then we have one at the gate with a sword. Say, anybody comes in, gonna knife you. When the reality was, God took them by the hand. He led them to the entrance of the garden. He put them outside because He did not want them to perpetually live in sin. But we're told that the great light was the Shekinah glory veiled, where God Himself was at that entrance of that garden. And now, every evening, Adam and Eve came to the entrance where they could meet with God. Why is the new commandment of 1 John so important? Because in the New Testament, every basis of judgment is built on how did you treat your fellow man. When He separated the wheat and the tares, the righteous didn't even know that they had fed Him. Well, when did we feed you? Why? Because they saw Christ. They understood the love of their Father. And as it got into their life and changed their heart, and as that relationship was built and built and built, then you just naturally see somebody, and that's just become who you become, because God has empowered you to do that. You can't love a jerk on your own. Because Jesus says, "I got little news for you. You sure in the world can try it on the outside, but boy, inside, if you caught them in a dark alley, you see." Only God changes that attitude. So the question, irrelevant. Is that right? Thank you. It was close. Doesn't make any sense. Focus on the One who loves you. And we'll all wake up like Paul and say, "Wow. What's changed? You know, I just used to despise that person. Now I just feel sorry. Look for opportunities to help them. I can't believe it." That is your Father working inside of you. Our Father in heaven, what a pity that you came to this earth and said to your children, your disciples, "I'm going to give you a new commandment," when all along you had just simply said throughout the entire Old Testament, "I just want to be your God and you be my people." Help us not to forget that principle. And again, we uphold the Witten family, the Perriman family, And most of all, Father, I personally want to thank you for the love you've shown me in my life. Help me to keep fixed upon you and be a blessing to others. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.